Life is sweet. Let it sweep you off your feet.
Hi, you're listening to Find Your Joy. If you're looking for ways to thrive rather than survive in a world that can seem rather chaotic, you're in the right place. We will be sharing stories of our own as well as those from guests who have found ways to bring hope, healing, and freedom into places where trauma has impacted them. I'm Allie, author of The Art of Healing Trauma, and I'm here to remind you that life is sweet. Now, let's dive in and find ways to create our joy. Hi, this is Allie and Find Your Joy. And I am really, you know, I think that today is going to be a day of we're going to be learning together. We're going to be exploring together. I have a dear old friend that I have not seen in so long. Eric Cooper is with us. Eric has just written a book and it is called Set Your Mind on Things Above the Sun, How to Develop a Kingdom Mindset. Eric, welcome.
Hey, Allie. So good to see you and so good to be here. Oh. And it's just an honor and a pleasure.
Oh, thanks so much. It's been, you know, it's been way too long, first of all. My goodness. I don't know. Sometimes you get this old and all of a sudden you realize when you say it's been a long time, but that doesn't mean 6 months anymore. That could be six or 16 or even 26 years.
20 years, maybe.
I know. It's just, how does that happen?
It's been at least, I think the last time we were together in Vancouver when you did the comedy thing.
Oh, probably my goodness.
2006 or seven, maybe,
oh,
or eight.
Oh my gosh, you're right. And you were just...
running the school.
You were so kind and gracious and helped out. So that's right. That was Tim Hawkins.
Tim Hawkins, yes.
Tim Hawkins. He's hilarious. That's right. That's when I tried my hand at doing events. Well, you know, I still do events and I'm a little less focused on that. But yeah, that was a great time. And you guys, you came out and you were at that time. Was Streams?
Running. We had an international school with Streams Ministries, so
yeah,
international students from all over the world that were coming.
That was awesome.
Learning how to interpret dreams and to, you know, hear from God, and yeah,
you've been doing this for a long, long time with a lot of, kindness and compassion and humility. You know what? I'm going to say, I remember one day, long before I knew who you were. So here's a little memory of where we started. So we had met before that but at that time I was a worship leader. And, you know, sometimes if you have hundreds or thousands of people at a time, I don't get the privilege of meeting each person that might be in the room. And I got a phone call one day from a guy called Eric. And he said to me, and I'll never forget this, you invited me to take all the Streams classes for free. and you said to me, you said, and I was racing in my mind to figure who you were. I couldn't, and it was embarrassing me that I didn't know. And you said to me at that time, oh, don't worry about it. You're one of the few and I'm one of the many in this situation. And I never forgot that, first of all, how gracious you were, because it was really quite the opposite way around. But I was having a hard time placing, but the generosity and the grace that you extended all that. And I learned a lot from that. No matter what I've done going forward in my life, those classes, I refer back to them. It was all the teachings that John Paul Jackson had done about really, you know, in today's language, I would say it more about just energy and understanding energy and listening to that small, still voice inside of us.
Absolutely.
You were an amazing teacher in that. So thanks again for that.
Thank you. Humbled by that. It's he was an amazing mentor and trainer and took me under his wing. And I dedicate the book to him. And just the profound impact that he has had on my life and still does today. And, yes, it's just an amazing, I think about him all the time.
Of course, when you're, when you're so close to someone and a person, for those, I don't, some people will know who John Paul Jackson is and or and some will not. He's sadly passed quite some time now.
It's 9 years, yeah.
9 years. Wow. Oh my gosh, he died the same year I had my accident. Interesting. But I'll look. Everything, what is it? I'm remembering something right now, and then there's just these little things when they weave together, they stop me for a moment, then I have to catch myself and get back on. But for those of you that don't know, John Paul Jackson was an internationally known speaker and writer and teacher and pastor, and he did a lot of things about teaching the everyday person how to really listen and hear, so that it wasn't just, oh, there's just one guy up front and he's the guy that'll tell you what God is saying or what it is you're hearing. He wanted to bring that to the masses,
Yeah.
I don't know a lot of other people that did that. There may be, but not a lot that I know of. It's certainly not that we're at his level.
Yeah, I mean, his flagship was the art of hearing God. And there's
Yeah.
an art in hearing that because God is always speaking all the time, and he's in everything, and he is always he loves us so much. He's always speaking to his children, right? And
Right.
he's always encouraging us along the way. So that's really a foundation for me. The whole book is setting your mind on things above the sun, because there's nothing new under the sun. Everything under
Right.
the sun is vanity, right? And there's not everything is just being rehashed. It's just, gets regurgitated. But
Right.
looking to above that and above, what's God's perspective on all of this when I'm going through this trial or I'm going through this tribulation in my life? What's heaven doing? Or what's God,
Right.
what's his perspective on it? And changing your focus, setting your mind on things above, it literally gives you a whole different viewpoint, almost like the eagle flying, looking down and seeing, oh, it's not that bad. I see the end,
Right.
or I see the storm. I see,
Right.
oh, I see
Well, I
where the
see a
storm's
new
coming. I see where
land
it's
just
going.
over there.
Absolutely.
That's
Absolutely.
beautiful. And it's so true that when we're in the middle of something, it is very difficult to see anything but like right in this moment, right in front of me, what's going on? Where is my pain coming from?
Yes.
What can I and it's a beautiful thing to be able to remember that there is a creator for those of us who believe such things. And there is a story that is larger than the one that I am focusing on right now.
Right. Absolutely. And one of the key points, I say this all the time because this is what he taught me, because he, I say it, and he told me to own it. So I do. What you focus on, whatever you focus on, you will make room for. And
Yes.
whatever you fear, you actually empower it. So what's my focus? Am I going to focus on this situation that's happening to me right now that I can't change? It's painful, it's hard. Or am I going to focus on a solution? Am I going to focus on the positive side, right? It's about creating a positive mental attitude. Like, you can either be half full glass of water or half empty. And so I choose in everything that I do is to focus on whatever things are good, whatever things are pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is a good report about something. I will focus and I will meditate on that versus what does it look like right now that's happening, and get caught up in that negative spin, right? Because it's all about
Right.
energy going in which direction. Negative energy is going in the wrong direction. Your body, quantum physics proves our body how it's designed. So it's
Yes.
actually bad for your health to think negatively, especially about yourself.
Yes.
And so, and what you fear, you empower. I don't want to give fear that kind of power in my life to be able to control me. Because we already know something happens, and you feel it in your insides, your spirit, your stomach, your it's all connected, right? So all of a sudden, the fear comes upon you, right? And what you fear actually comes upon you. So I fear the Lord. I fear God. That's it. I've trained my soul. I speak to it all the time. I am not going to fear something that was created by a creator who is in charge. So I just talk, the enemy talk to the hand. Like with that fear thing that comes, I don't let it come.
Right.
And I am empowering faith then. I'm empowering a positive outcome. And I can tell stories all day long of how I've witnessed that and how I continue to listen for that still small voice as leading and guiding me. Right. Mm-hmm. And in the courses that we used to teach, we called them prophetic exercises so that you could still your quiet voice. Like I still do it to this day. I have two elevators in my building. Before I push the button, I step in front of the one that's going to open and push the button. And nine times out of 10, I'm in front of the correct one. So it's not 100%, but most of the time I know which one's going to open. I know who's going to phone me before they call me, but it's all because I've attuned my spirit to what's going on around my circumstances and around me. Now, how is that practical when I'm helping people or talking to people, encouraging them when they're feeling down or low? I can pick up on right away what's troubling them. I don't have to reveal that to them, but I can change the narrative of what I'm saying, because I'm now going to focus on that. That's not the plan that is upon their life. There's a good plan for them, right? What is that plan? And how do I help them to reach that part? Like my little part, I'm just one person along that assembly line, right? How can I impact them today? I'm in the grocery store. How can I say something to the cashier that will make her day? And I'm thinking about that and I'm connecting, and I will sometimes it's just a smile, right? And so that's above the sun thinking. That's an above the sun mindset. I'm looking at everything that I'm going through is what is the plan here, right? And that way you don't have to go far to get all the negative stuff. Everybody's right.
So yes.
I want to be the person who walks in and the person that I have encountered actually feels good.
Yes.
How do I feel good?
Yes.
I call it the Peter's shadow effect. I just want to walk by and they're healed. I just want to walk by and they're changed. I don't even really want to know about it because, you know, then you have to deal with, you know, what just happened there. But I just want to be, I say this, I live in him, in the creator. I live and move and have my being. That's who I am. Mm. So that better be affecting what's going around me. And that becomes my focus, right? And so that becomes that positive change. And it doesn't have to be religious. It doesn't have to be inside of a church or outside of a church. Quite frankly, you know, I recognize being outside around people all the time that I'm doing exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. And it's affecting people around me. And I know they're being touched by God because he loves them so much, right?
Right.
And I have that love for them because he loves me. And I don't judge. I hate being judged. So I don't judge people. It's their story. I'm just not going to go there because that's not edifying. It doesn't help me. It doesn't make me feel good.
It doesn't serve a valuable purpose to be in any place other than, I love that you say that when you see something, when you feel like something is revealed, I mean, it's just, I don't even know where to start with all this because it's so exciting to me, but energetically how it works, I've been, you know, because I used to, you know, and where we went to, I was asked to develop a program and I did that about listening to, and I so much used all the things that you had taught me in that. And one of the things that stuck out largest to me that was a blaring thing was that when we are whispered an intimate truth or like a secret, we've been given a secret about a person, then we need to be really cautious and mindful about that, not just blurt that out to them, because that might, they might not even fully recognize that about themselves yet. Secondly, that intimacy that was just shared with me, I don't have that intimacy with them. They're not going to feel safe that I'm just reading their, you know what I mean? Telling that.
Yeah.
So I love that you say that, that you don't even want to necessarily, you don't speak to them about it. And unless I'm invited in, I certainly don't. And just allow that. And that you, the Peter shadow thing is wonderful, that it would, that it would just go by. I wanted to say something energetically. This is an interesting thing when people are like, well, I'm not sure how all of this works. I'm going to tell you, our daughter is living with us right now. She has two cats. Our road is probably about, you know, from where we live to where the bend comes, I'm going to say a quarter to a half a mile. Figured that out in kilometers. I'm still a little bit old school sometimes. So it is that. Now we have this little app where we always can, we know where each other are, right? We've got that find your thing. And her cats will run to the door meowing, and I will look on her app, and she could still be probably a quarter to a half a mile away. So a couple of kilometers away, and her cats are running to the door. So why am I saying that right now? It's just energy. They're connecting with that. And so how much more when we focus it on, like, you're saying?
Yeah. Cause if you focus on, okay, your daughter who came from your womb,
yes,
you're connected. The DNA proves that, even if not, but even being around the person,
yes,
your husband, you guys are one. Once you start to exercise this concept, you will know when he's driving home before, and it might be, you might hear his car, but it might be before that.
Right.
You won't have to look at the app. You will know, it's like I said, know who's calling you on
that.
The phone or knocking at your door before they even come. And before call display, I could answer the phone and say, hi, Allie. And
right.
You go, how do you know it was me? I just laugh, right? Because I'm exercising my gift. We are all gifted.
Yes.
And we all, because we're primarily a spirit being, we're a spirit being that's having a very short physical experience outside of the whole time system. So, you know,
right.
I believe we're a tripart being, spirit, soul, body. It has to be in that order, spirit rule, soul, body. Our society is upside down. It's body, soul, spirit. Everybody's right. Nurturing their body. They're doing what's right in their soul. You know, just a really quick exercise. Like, body is flesh, bone, and blood. Your soul is your mind, your will, your emotion. But your spirit is made up of of wisdom, communion, that communion with the creator, and your conscience. That conscience is that still small voice, that voice that you hear inside of you when it's like, don't do that. Don't go there. It's still and it's quiet. And how many times have we done something and go, oh, I shouldn't have done that. I knew I shouldn't have done that.
Right.
And so when you flip that around, and it comes from our nurturing, when you nurture the spirit, you know, I'm teaching my children for my grandchildren to nurture the spirit of the child as they're an infant versus the soul, right? The soul is crying and diapers, all the things that you have to do, but you speak to that spirit. You continually nurture the spirit. You tell that child who they are, why you named them, what you named them, what their name means, what their destiny is. And that's the nurturing part. And that changes. Now, and I know I'm going all over the place here,
no,
but
it's
very
key. No, you're not.
Key.
It's all connecting.
Okay. It's very key,
I
because
think.
if we have nurtured our own spirits, right, and having a healthy spirit, growing our spirit, I believe my spirit extends beyond me. That's Peter's shadow. So I'm pressing out, like I'm as I'm intentionally walking into a place. And I used to teach the interns this all the time. I would say, here's how I do it. We're going to go into Starbucks. You guys stand outside, you look through the window. I'm not going to put my hands out or anything, but I'm just going to intentionally touch people with my spirit. And you will watch people as I walk by to go up there. They'll be in the middle of their conversation and they'll just look up like this and look down. They won't even realize they did it, but you will witness it because my spirit's touching their spirit and they just liked what happened. They don't know what happened, but they just, hey, what was that? And they
Right.
didn't hear me. I was quiet, walk in, but I did it with intention. And so, when I drive tour bus in the summertime, I can't preach to the customers. I'm their guide or their driver, whatever I'm doing. But I'm intentionally encountering them. I'm beholding the creator, and he has a plan for them. And it's like, how do I give them an experience that they're not going to forget?
Right.
And that just may be, and I get the comments all the time. That was a great, I felt so safe in your bus. I'm usually nervous. I wasn't nervous. Oh, that was a wonderful. I might not even have said a word other than hello. And they've experienced because my spirit's connecting with them and loving all over them. So they're experiencing something happen. Can you imagine if everybody, that's how we're supposed to exist today. Can you
Right.
imagine if everybody was doing that? We wouldn't have a
Exactly.
world full of pain and hurt and heartache and jealousy and envy, all the stuff that goes on with that,
Right.
which is all me, 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 me. But I had to come to a place where I just had to die to myself because my natural self is selfish. And I had to come to that place. And that came through a lot of pain and suffering and heartache. And I talk a little bit, some of the stuff I went through in my book, but not a lot. But I didn't have an easy time of it. And
Right.
but I never lost my faith because as a young child, I encountered him. I encountered the creator when I was very young, very alone, very much in pain, and he revealed his love. That's all I can really call it, his love. It's just his love came over me, and I knew that I had a destiny, and I knew that there was an adversary trying to keep me from that destiny, and that has been the journey. I'm writing about that in my second book, which I'm halfway through now, which really exposes the lies of the evil one, what we have bought into today, and just using more experience. First-hand experience of what the deceiver wants to do is deceive people.
Right.
So, yeah.
So when you so for your I mean when I'm looking at your book and I've read some of it, I mean I think most for those who don't know, so it was part of my when I got my bump on my head was my occipital lobe. So reading is a bit of a challenge. So I did go through it, but it's hard for me to retain what I've read, and it's hard for me to read in general. But I did because I really wanted to see, and I saw a lot of. Well, it's interesting. You had mentioned it already. The whatever you focus on is what. Is
You make room
basically
for.
is what I'm making room for. And I know that to be the truth. I know that so much in my own life that I and there's a whole bunch of people saying the same thing in another way, so maybe we all need to pay attention to that, right?
Yeah.
Is that I very much some people call it visualization, manifestation. We're all talking about the same thing, is that we focus on this thing. You know what? In motors, if you take a course on riding a motorcycle, the first thing they teach you is wherever you're looking, that's where you're going to go. So if you're looking
Yeah.
at a big truck coming towards you and you're thinking, I'm just looking at that truck because I don't want to hit it, that is exactly where you're going to end up steering your vehicle, because that's, and so what I've learned, I that was one of the things that I thought, oh my gosh, that's what I've been reading in, in scriptures and self-help books and whatever, anything I read, that was what was taught in this course. If I'm staring at that, that's where I'm headed.
Yes,
It's
absolutely.
why it's just physics. It's how it's going to work, right? And it's so I love that. So one of the things that I noticed, so in your book, who is your intended audience? Like, do you have an intended
That's
audience?
really good question. My intended audience at first was I run along a lot of people who've been hurt by the church.
Right.
And people will come up and ask, they notice there's something different about me, the way I carry myself and the language that I choose to use. And so they'll usually ask me, like, are you religious? And I laugh because I don't call that religion, because I don't like, in the definition of it all. But I do let people know that I follow the Creator. I live by the teachings of Jesus or Yeshua, and that usually is suffice, because they don't have a demarc point in their hurt and pain that has that language. They have Sunday school, or they have a church, or they have a nun, or they have something that there was a pain attached to that. So that's a trigger, right? So I try to use his proper names
Right.
to explain who he is. But my audience has always been people who are seekers of truth. And I know that in the world of that we're in today, there's all kinds of definitions for truth. And that could be an entire different podcast talking about that, but because I don't want to offend anybody, but I also want to help people to, what the Bible says, if you know the truth will set you free. So the freedom that I have from any kind of deception, which allows me to listen to what something's happening, news or politician or whatever, and I know right away in my spirit, because I don't have, there's no witness to by the spirit of truth that says that that's the truth. So I know that where it's coming from, so I don't even have to listen to it or buy into it, or and because we're spirit beings, and you'll see this in a lot of people, that they're standing against these things because they've had enough that of what politicians are saying or whoever, and
Right.
they're trying to rise up, and but they're rising up in a way that they don't really, because they haven't nurtured the spirit part, they're not rising up together with wisdom. Wisdom coming in and say, how do we say no? How do we stop this or get involved in that? And it all, it becomes confusion. And it comes, the author of lies, he just wants to always, and I talk about this in the book, like, there's nothing new under the sun. Original sin, did God really say that? Like, did he say that? And if you don't know what the Bible says about something, or you don't know what God says about something, then it's easy to be deceived.
Right.
And we see that all throughout creation, all throughout life. And so I'm trying to target an audience that is open to something that's higher than themselves. And yes, I quote a lot of biblical truths and scriptures, because I've studied the Bible for 54 years. I know it inside and out. But it if I but I also know that even in Jesus' day, the religious leaders didn't see him as the Messiah, and they didn't, and they studied them too. So I know you can study something and be stuck in,
Right.
one of the things that John Paul used to teach me about studying the Bible, ask questions to the Lord. Why this and not that? What he called it, reading between reading the white, like between the lines, like white. Why does it say that? And as I do that, I can read a scripture verse and I can see something that's there and I go, okay, it's there for a reason. And I'm not just glossing over it. So I dig deeper and I start researching and finding out, oh, what was it? Who were they talking to in that day? Oh, there was this going on in that day. And you can find other literature right. that proves that there was something going on that they were talking about. It's kind of like if a scripture was written today about what we just went through with the pandemic, and it just spoke of that and used the words that we used for the pandemic. And 2,000 years from now, you were trying to read that, you wouldn't understand what in the world were they talking
That's
about.
Right. That's why we need to know history along with anything. Yeah.
Absolutely. So you start looking at researching the history and you start finding, oh, there's something. There's
what
more
specifically
to this.
Were they saying there?
That's... Yes.
And so because, what? Oh, sorry, go ahead.
So the last point on that is, I through whatever's really important, okay, like I said, whatever you focus on, you make room for. What's really important is that the enemy is going, I call him the enemy of my soul. He's going through so much trouble to try and keep the world in deception or keep, you know, people that I love in deception. Why? What's he afraid of? He's afraid of the end game because he knows he's finished and he knows that we become triumphant. So I want to expose a lot of that. That's the next book, but it's when you think about what you go through in your life, whether it's a trial, whether it's trauma, whether it's pain, whether it's suffering, there's a reason behind that. And the enemy would like you to think, well, God doesn't love you, he doesn't care about you, that's why this happened. No, bad things happen to good people. But everything that happens to us can work together for God. And I can only look back at the traumas that I went through in my life and the pain and the suffering that I has helped me to understand mental illness. It's helped me [S2] Right. [S1] To understand depression. It's helped me to understand things that just happen that you just, what? But I'm serving you, God. Why is this happening? And that's why I can say, though you slay me, Lord, I can trust in you. Because I may not understand it at the moment, but I understand it, that you're going to work it together for the good and the plan mm-hmm. that you have for me. And I can take that to the bank. He has never failed me. He has never left me. He has given me joy that I can't even understand and peace that passes all of my understanding. Like it's just, and in the middle of it, when you're in that storm, now I'm not saying I wasn't depressed or didn't feel pain and anguish and all those things. I did. But when I got quiet before him, I knew he's there and I could, he's got you. He's got me. So that's who
really
I'm writing for.
To hold anybody, on to, right?
Yeah.
Faith is to, you know, is to hold on to. It doesn't mean that there will never be a flood. It means that there might be an ark. It doesn't mean that there won't be any problems that would happen when we have a faith. I wanted to ask a question. So for someone who's listening and who might be interested in your book, when I think about if I'm talking about to someone who they're playing Monopoly and I come with risk rules. That's what I, so if I'm talking to a person and their truth or their, where they get their information isn't scripture. So for people who are outside of that, what kinds of things are in your book that might invite them, for a person who would like to learn to, what they focus on is what they invite in, and to start to learn how to listen and to hear and things like that. But maybe they don't come from, either they don't come from, or they came from and chose not to be anymore. From that. So what are the, so maybe talk a little bit about to any of those listeners, What's something in this book for them? Like, how did you write it? Because I know you, and I know that you're a person who really invites all people into this. So I to whatever it is you're doing, that's how I know you personally. So maybe if you would just talk a bit about that, about what's invite them in.
Well, some of the things like what you focus on, you make room for; what you fear, you empower, is proven by quantum physics. So I talk about the law of observation, law of attraction, and these are what I love about quantum physics and science today is it's actually proving God's existence. And the more we do studies on the DNA strand, and as scientists, I'll use their word, evolve into like understand more. They're going, hey, hang on a second here. We all have a common DNA strand. Where's that from? Right. And they're not revealing everything yet, because when John Paul started teaching us 20 years ago about quantum physics, we didn't even understand any of it. But he said science is going to prove it, right? Because prophetically he knew the future, and he said, this is what's going to happen. Science is going to prove it, and this is what it is. And a lot of those things have happened. So I use examples in the book that are just everyday type of things where you go, oh, is that what that is? Trying to I really tried to write in a way that wasn't offensive, because I want people to hear my heart, that I love people. I don't judge anyone. I'm trying. I created a study guide that every chapter probably could be a book on its own, but it could stand on its own, and you could refer to it. If there was something, if you're having something issue with your character, and why am I not getting this job? All these interviews, how do I prepare for that? And then so I talk about how you develop character, and I'm trying to take real life type of scenarios, and I've already been told I need to write a study guide for it, because it's really a lot of teachings and things like that, can taking all the teachings and things to try and turn it into a book. And now I'm going to re reverse engineer it to create a study guide for it. But I hope I answered
I
your
think so,
question
yeah,
there.
because I no, I think you really did. That there's you share in the book about quantum physics, you share in the book about things that happen every day. For me, whatever a person's when I read something, whether that comes from how would I say, a teacher that is someone I personally follow or not, if there's something in there that I can hold on to and see that it's truth, to me it just makes that truth shine even more brightly. If I read something and I see that, you know, people of a different faith or of a different philosophy or whatever, that they have something similar, it doesn't take away from what I believe in. It just shows me this has been something that has been shared through the ages, through on down for as many people as we can imagine. And when we look at, I love the physics things. John Paul was in one of the courses that I can't remember. Now lately I've been taking so many more courses around energy and energetic healing and all of these things. And things that are interesting to me is, and I hope I remember this gentleman's name correctly, Dr. Emoto, I believe it was. But it was in one of the 20 years ago when he first
The
did all that.
water,
Yes, with the
speaking to
water.
the
Remember
water.
the water, and that either speaking words or even just writing words, whether they were positive or negative, and the different ways that those little drops of water would shift and do things. And that was through you and through John Paul's teachings that I learned that over 20 years ago. And I'm taking things now, and people are saying, "Oh my gosh, have you seen this?" And I'm like, Yes, I have. It's awesome. It's still awesome. I believe that doctor has now passed on some years ago,
Yeah.
but it's powerful, powerful stuff. And that was some of the things that you were doing a few decades ago, was already blending in the things of scripturally, and then using all of these different sciences and discoveries from others to share and to say, this is what we're talking about. And that's why I brought it up, because I thought I wanted people to really know that if scripture doesn't matter to you, scripture doesn't matter to you yet, right? So that's how it is. So how do we know then, how do I say, okay, but this is going to be something that is going to surpass what you would imagine. This is going to be something that is going to be inviting and talk about things that we all already know about. We all already know what it's like to walk in a room and feel that thing in our gut and we're not really sure what it is, or walk into a house and you know the couple has just been fighting, even though they're smiling and saying, right, honey, what about this? But the tension is in the room. It's there. So what is that? That's
Right.
energy.
Energy.
That's physics. That's what that is. And all of this helps us to see that a little bit more. But what I love, I'm going to say this, what I love about your focus is the focus is to witness and experience it in love. And that's, I'm going to say, just my experience is that, and this is not for or against anything, right? But sometimes when people teach or talk about learning to be sensitive to our giftings, how we pick up from each other and all that, it is not always that love is what leads. And that's what I love about what you're teaching, is that love is the thing that I meet that with. So can I tell when I meet someone what they're about, maybe? Yes. If I don't meet that, if love doesn't go ahead of me, if love isn't the thing, then what am I stuck with? I'm going to judge them probably
Yes.
because
You're absolutely.
now I have this information about them, and now
Yes.
it's going to be hard as a human just walking around this sack of flesh and bones and blood and tissue to not meet with that. So I like that
Yeah.
you talk about developing the spirit. Of course, we're still going to care what we feed our body. Of course, we're still going to care what we feed our mind. It doesn't mean those things are nothing. It just, for me, what I hear when you're saying that is developing the part of each of us, and me specifically, that learns to lead in love, that
Right.
learns to be aware and open. But if I don't, so that is, for me, that is what I have taken from what you've been talking about, is that that's the thing. That's the
That's the key.
thing. It is. And
Yeah.
it's such a good reminder. It's a good
And
reminder.
it is the central theme.
Yeah.
Love. Love covers all. So if I don't love, I'm going to judge.
Yes.
If I don't love, I walk into a room, I'm going to have information. If I love, I'm going to get revelation. I'm going to be able to tell them
Oh.
something that only they know. I'm going to be able to speak into the plans that God has for them, the destiny that lies ahead, the thing that's troubling them about something they haven't shared with anybody. But if I just walk in the room and I'm judging everybody, I have information like everybody else in the room, and it's just going to be whatever you see and you judge. And there's no love, and the people don't want to be around you. They feel judged. They feel right. And unfortunately, sadly, that's been a lot of the people that I call once churched that experienced. They didn't feel loved. And that's a sad statement. And so I believe in community, and community is about loving one another and bearing one another's burdens and helping each other out in community. And when that's done right, Now you've got a tribe, right, of people. And when you're going through something, it's really important to go through with a tribe. Yes. When you're going through something all alone, you know, it's the old walk through the valley of the shadow of death, right? That's what it feels like. But I had to experience that shadow of death as well so that I knew that God was with me. Because I had to experience things. This is why I can say God meant it for good. I had to experience the pain and the suffering and things to be able to be moved with compassion, the same way that he is moved with compassion when he healed people. He was, the Bible talks about Jesus was then moved with compassion because of the situation. That's got to be my motivation in it. So when I was writing, I was, you know, trying to write from that place of love and not just information, but I was looking for revelation, looking for something that someone one day will pick up the book, even if it's just for one person, and they see something, they read something there that unlocks the everything that they've been bound up in for a lot of their life and allow the healing process to come and change them so that they're healed. There's no more triggers. There's no more the trauma once happened, but they've gone through that healing process where it no longer defines them, but the joy and the love and what they experience define them. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of, you know, so when I, you know, I really wrestled with, do I write this strictly as a, you know, veiled, call it, you know, book? And I really felt clearly, no, this is a season now. This is the time where the truth needs to come out of what is actually said in the Word of God about circumstances, and try to deliver that in a way that is understood.
I love that. Wow, this time goes fast.
Eric, I had someone ask me to share for 5 minutes once. I said, I don't know if 5 minutes is possible. I got the clip and I kind of going, I didn't even, you know, how do you do a 45 second reel?
I don't know how anybody does like, any of that.
Because everything today is just instant. People have an 8 second attention span. Yeah. So you got to have 45 seconds, you know, you got to hit them in 8 seconds. It's like,
everybody's on a rodeo bull, 8 seconds.
and it's all this information that's coming, and it's just, right?
Yeah. No, this is beautiful. And I feel like you did a wonderful job explaining where your heart is, shared enough about your book that we can understand it, and enough teasers that people will want to go and find it. I love that it is for people, whatever their background, whatever their faith, whatever their belief structure, whatever is going on. I think that anybody can get from this. And that, as always, you're leading with love, because that's just who you are. And I know that was not earned easily. And I appreciate
you. Thank you.
I appreciate you. So,
thank you.
Dang, if it ain't the end. well, of course, it's just the beginning. But to everyone, I will have all of Eric's contact information, where to find his book, where to find him, all of that. We will have that. Eric, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. It's really been an honor, an honor and a pleasure. I really am excited about what you're doing. And I love, I've been listening to your podcast, you know, kind of in preparation, and just the different people that have been on it. And you really feel fulfilling a niche that is needed. Good. And opening up a way, because there's so many things that we can use today to heal, help heal us, as we've all been through. Everybody has a story.
Everybody has a story. When I was, you know, I said this whole thing was birthed out of the first three books I was in. I was a co-author, and then I wrote my own book, and now I'm writing the kids' books, and then going through, you know, the pandemic and stuff, I just thought, I just want to know about joy. I think we all need to remember about joy and how to find joy and what brings us joy. And if we haven't, then let's start digging in the manure till we find a pony. Yeah. You know,
I've never met a weak person that was full of joy. They're always strength. The joy, what comes from the joy, the strength that people get and receive, it helps them to get through whatever. So joy is a real key. Yeah. Love and joy.
Yeah. Aw, thank you so much. Eric Cooper, thank you, my friend. Thank you for being here. Thank you for sharing your heart and so much truth and power and strength and resilience. I'll just keep more words. And to our listeners, thanks so much for coming out. I really appreciate that you would spend some time with us today. Do find Eric's book. Go and find Eric. And always find your joy. This is Ali. Thanks again. Thanks so much for joining me today. If you found a piece of your joy in this episode, I would love to hear about what came up for you so that we can continue to grow the impact of this show. Thanks again. See you soon. And remember, find your joy.